Let's talk about a Shiloh that comes up every year in Camp Simcha, every session, and that is there are a number of campers, both in Camp Simcha regular and far more in Camp Simcha special, who are in need of some kind of assistance to breathe at night. So they need either a CPAP machine or a BiPAP machine, depending on what level of care and intervention they particularly need. And that's why we have respiratory specialists who help them out, try to train the counselors how to do it properly. And every year this is a question, what do we do about Shabbos? For those who are in need, what are we supposed to do? So it so happens this past Shabbos, we had a camper here who does use a BiPAP machine all the time at night and certainly needs it. Her father called me on Erev Shabbos. He wanted to discuss it. So I asked him, what do you do at home? So he says, oh, at home, we just leave it on. I said, leaving it on, won't that break the machine? So he said, no, we left it on for a three-day yontif just now, Shavuos, and there's no problem. It's still here to tell the tale. So I don't know if that's the case by all of these machines or he has some very fancy, wonderful machine. Then the second question I asked him is, if you leave it on, doesn't it start to alert to the fact that it, you know, that it's no longer needed? After a certain amount of time, it starts beeping and making noise. He says, yeah, but you can press a button to bypass all the noises, and therefore we got around it. It's not a problem at all. So that's what he told us to do. We followed his instruction. Not everybody has that kind of machine, so that's not always a possibility for everyone. If it's going to break the machine, you can't just leave it on the whole Shabbos and assume that that's what you have to do every Shabbos, buy a new machine on Sunday morning. So what are you supposed to do? So option number two would be to set a Shabbos clock. Not a big deal. It happens to be, we tried it last week. If you set a Shabbos clock, it goes on with all the settings that were there from before it went on, and you really have to press very minimal buttons, if any. If you don't have an opportunity to do a Shabbos clock, or whatever it is, the Shabbos clock is not going to work because you have other settings that need to be pressed. So then the third option is you should ask a Nachri. And that's why we have a Nachri who's circling around at nights here, three different times at night, that's able to turn it on or turn it off. If all of those options are not available, for whatever reason, then we would tell a Yisrael to do it al yidei shinui, which is also fairly simple, to do it with the back of your knuckle or something like that. Press the button. These are not fairly complicated machines, and this is something that would be permissible. So I remember a number of years ago when my father came here, I think it was 4 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, or 3 years ago, 4 years ago. So it was the first time in his life that he actually saw a lot of these machines, and we had the respiratory therapists and the paramedics going around the campus with him and showing them to him, and that was one of the questions that came up. What do we do about the CPAP and BiPAP machine on Shabbos? And then, I think part of the issue that was discussed was, what about the fact that many of our campers, it's not good enough that they have a CPAP or a BiPAP, many of them require also to have a humidifier chamber in the machine. They also need the moisture to come up as the air is pushing into the lungs. For those who have trouble breathing, sometimes they need moisture as well, and that is an extra malacha that we have to think about. Why? Because in order for it to become humidified, it has to heat up. In order for that to happen and become into vapor, then that's something that would also be a malacha of bishul. So forgetting about the fact that you figured out how to turn the machine on, leave it on, Shabbos clock, goy, shinui, whatever it is, now you have a new problem that you have to add water. And that's what I'd like to talk about tonight. I think it's a fascinating discussion. We're going to start with the question, and that question is, who said there's even a malacha at all to cook water on Shabbos? Now you'll ask, what do you mean? How could it be that there's no malacha to cook water on Shabbos? It's bishul. Isn't that the classical case of bishul? What would be the question at all? So you look at a Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah. The Gemara here, Maseches Avodah Zarah, is having a discussion about the Isser of Bishul Akum, about eating foods that were cooked by a non-Jew. And we know that that applies to certain types of food, certain qualifications. So the Gemara wants to know, how do I know that there is a prohibition of Bishul Akum at all? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Parshas Devarim, where the Torah says, as Klal Yisrael were passing through the lands of one of their enemies, they're told, Ochel Bakesef Tishbereni, V'achalti, if you're going to give me food, I'll buy it and I will eat it. Umayim Bakesef Titin Li V'shasisi. And if you give me water, we're going to buy the water and we'll be able to drink. Says the Gemara, the only reason they were able to take food and drink from the non-Jew was because it was water. Ma Mayim, says the Gemara, Shalonishtanu, water from a non-Jew, he couldn't have done anything to it, he couldn't have cooked it, and therefore we would assume that water is permissible to drink from a non-Jew, but if it's something else that would require preparation, that would require cooking, says the Gemara, then we would not allow you to take it from a Nachri. And from here we learn the Isra of Bishul Akum. Obviously this is all a din derabanan, it's not a din deraisa, but what you see from here that's relevant for our case is the Gemara assumes that water is not cooked. The Gemara assumes that water is always going to be permissible to get from a Nachri because there's nothing to worry about. The Nachri couldn't have possibly done anything to it to make it subject to the discussion of Bishul Akum. Now today, when we have factories that are bottling water, you have a different consideration because sometimes you have a run that might be running other things that are Stam Yenam or other. So you have to look into these issues. But in theory, the Gemara is saying before the days of factories, we have the right to assume that water is permissible and not a problem at all. According to that, you have to ask yourself, if water that's taken by a non-Jew, even if it's cooked, it wouldn't be a problem because it's still water. Water is water. Nothing changed at all. Now translate that to the laws of Shabbos. When we talk about Bishul B'Shabbos, nothing changed at all. If I take water and I cook it, it was water before, it's water after. Nothing changed at all. Now it's just hot water. So the question is, if the Gemara here assumes that when it comes to Bishul Akum, there's no problem of water from a non-Jew, even if he cooked it, it won't be a problem because nothing changed, then shouldn't that be the same when it comes to Bishul B'Shabbos? And that is the question that is bothering a number of the Rishonim. And then the Achronim have major discussions about this. The Rambam says, that's impossible. What do you mean? We have a din of Bishul B'Shabbos. So we know if you take a piece of chicken raw from the freezer, put it into the oven, that's Bishul B'Shabbos. We all know that to be the case. What about that's afia, whatever it's going to be, Bishul. So now you take a case over here, says the Rambam. You're going to take water, put it into a pot, till you see the water is bubbling, the water is boiling, you're going to say, I'm not in violation of the Isra of Bishul B'Shabbos. How can that be? And the Rambam brings a raya from the Gemara. The Gemara says in Maseches Beitza, what happens if you have a number of people together, it's at the end of Maseches Beitza, if you have a number of people who are involved in the act of cooking on Shabbos. For example, the Gemara says, one person brings the wood, another person brings the pot, another person fills it with water, another person turns the fire on, everything, everyone's contributing. Says the Gemara, who's going to be chayv in the end? What would he say? I would have said without the Gemara, the last person. Because what am I contributing? I just put the wood there. He just put the pot. Without the fire, you have nothing. Says the Gemara, no. Kulam chayavim. All of them are chayiv. Why? Because the way the Rambam understands it is, everything that's mitzarchei habishul, that contributed to this bishul happening, would be a contributing factor to make you in violation of the melacha bishul. Big arichas in the Achronim to explain it, but that's clear in the Gemara. Says the Rambam, and other Rishonim say the same thing, the case the Gemara says there is, somebody fills up the pot with water. How could it be? He fills it up with water. Water is not Bishul B'Shabbos. The answer is, the Gemara seems to say clearly, even though it may not be Bishul Akum, because nothing actually changed, but it's certainly considered to be Bishul B'Shabbos, and that would be entirely prohibited on Shabbos itself. And the Chassam Sofer and other Achronim, the Eglei Tal, are all bothered. How can that be? The Rambam himself writes in Hilchos Shabbos that if I cook something that really doesn't change at all from the time that I cooked it to the time from before it was cooked, that's not a violation of Bishul. That's not Bishul at all. That's nothing. So the Rambam himself seems to contradict his own halacha. He says that in general, that's the way we figure out what's considered Bishul. Then suddenly, when it comes to water, the Rambam says, even though nothing changes at all, it would still be considered to be Bishul. So this is a big, big discussion. The Shalom Eishiv and many other Achronim try to figure out why there's this discrepancy, where water should be the exception to the rule. But clearly we know that we paskin like the Rambam and the Pashtus, the Shulchan Aruch says the same thing. Cooking water is considered to be Bishul B'Shabbos regardless. And that would be something that, if you did it, you'd be in violation of the Melacha De'araisa, the Mishnah Berurah writes of Beferish, and this is really the standard Halacha L'maisa that all of us accept. Okay, so heating up the water would certainly be a problem. So there was a suggestion, I think you gave the suggestion. So what was the suggestion? A very sharp idea. What was the suggestion? Oh, we have a Halacha, the Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos, Kuf Mem Hei, that there's a halacha that ain bishul achar bishul, which means if I have something that is entirely cooked before Shabbos begins, so then I go ahead on Shabbos again and I cook it again, nothing changes at all. It's already done. So the Gemara assumes ain bishul achar bishul. Once it was mavushul called tzarcha, once it was already cooked to a certain degree, then we would say if you go back and cook it again, not consider bishul at all. That's the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins, and it would not be a malacha bishul deraisa. You may have other issues, derabanan, chazara, shahiyah, other things, but mid deraisa there's no iser of bishul. Now the Rishonim, the Gedoli Rishonim, have a machlokes. What about by Davar Lach? I take a piece of chicken, I cooked it on Erev Shabbos. Now I put it back onto the fire, nothing's happening. It's the same piece of chicken that it was cooked before Shabbos, is cooked already. That's not Bishul D'Araisa. What if I take hot water, I cooked it before Shabbos, it cooled off, and now I go and I cook it again on Shabbos itself? What would you say?
Chicken is different than water.
Why?
Because you could be adding flavor and you could be making it better. So it adds to Davar Lach.
Exactly where it was before.
The other way. No, this is the other way. In the other direction. We paskin by chicken, ain bishul achar bishul. Once it's cooked already, it's cooked. Nothing's going to change, even if I put it back in. What?
Dry chicken.
This is advanced Talmud. This is simple. I'm talking a dry piece of chicken and some water. I put a piece of chicken into the oven. It was cooked already before Shabbos. We paskin, ain bishul achar bishul. Should that carry over to taking water that was cooked before Shabbos? Should I say, if I cook it again on Shabbos itself, it's not considered bishul? What do you say? Of course not. What? Which way?
All water is the same.
So therefore?
You didn't cook it. All the water could have been cooked.
Correct. And therefore, what's the bottom line? Therefore?
And it doesn't have that unique aspect of Bishlach or Bishl. It's just Bishl again.
It's Bishl again. Exactly. Because it lost everything that was done before. It cooled down. It's as if nothing happened. Now I'm back to square one. It's as if I'm taking water directly from the rain, putting it into a pot and cooking it for the first time because there's no residual effect from the first cooking that I did.
Well, you take water from a lake and you boil it, it could be drunk in
that. Okay.
So you improved it.
No, but let's say, but the question is when I...
And it's distilled water.
We're talking about, let's say you have pure water, rainwater. That's why I gave that example. Rainwater, right? It's pure water, it's clean, it's fresh, it's good. Now I cook it, it cools down, now I cook it again. So you're very correct. The Rambam says, no. If we have a klal, ein bishalach har bishal, that means across the board, both by a dover yavish, by a piece of chicken, as well as by the water. And the other Rishonim say, how can that be? Exactly what you're saying. That doesn't make sense. If you take the piece of chicken and you cook it again, nothing changed. You take a cup of water and you cooked it before Shabbos, now you cook it again, that's a whole new act of cooking. There's nothing left from the first act of cooking that I did. So this is a major machlokes HaRishonim. As we know, in Shulchan Aruch, we paskin that yesh bishalach har bishal b'davar lach. We assume, when you're talking about water, we would paskin that it's considered to be a bishal if you do it a second time, because, exactly like you said. And that's the way the Mishneh Berurah explains it. Actually, the Menchas Chinuch has a suffix. It's time to daven already. What? Oh, one second. So the Menchas Chinuch actually has a suffix based on this machlokes HaRishonim. What would you say by heating up metal?
It's the same thing as metal.
What?
It depends on the metal.
Let's say you have a metal that you heated it up and therefore it got hot enough that now you can do something to it. You can change it, change the shape, change the form.
Also, it hardens some metals.
So now the metal hardened. Now you go on Shabbos, you heat it up again. Would I be in violation of Bishul or not? The Menchas Chinuch says, well, maybe that should be dependent on this. So the Ramah there in Hilchos Shabbos writes, he quotes both opinions. The Mechaber says, the Mechaber and the Ramah discuss this, and the Ramah does say there are those who are of the opinion, and it's not a minority opinion, it's the Rambam. The Rambam is one of the major Rishonim in all discussions in Halacha. We always consider the Rambam Shita very seriously. So here, the Ramah and the Mechaber, they both discuss that the Rambam is of the opinion that Ein Bishalach HaBishal goes across the board, both a Davar Yavish and a Davar Lach. But the accepted opinion generally is that we're machmir, like the other Rishonim, that we differentiate between a Davar Lach and a Davar Yavish. Okay, so when we come to this issue, you had a good idea. What was the good idea? Maybe we should leave in every bunkhouse, we should cook up water before Shabbos in the dining room. Then we should pour it into pitchers, leave a pitcher in every bunkhouse. When somebody in the bunkhouse needs to put water into the humidifier on Shabbos, let them pour in the water that was pre-cooked, because according to some Rishonim, half of the Rishonim, that would be Ein Bishalach HaBishal. You would save yourself from the Malach HaBishal. Very good idea, right? Sounds like a great idea. So why do we not do it? So, what? So here's what's funny. Not so funny. I was in my shul one day, and I was talking about some of these issues. Fine. There's a very respectful doctor in the back of the room, Dr. Seymour Uberfeld. You know Uberfeld? From our neighborhood. He's sitting there, very respectful guy, very learned person. He's sitting there listening to the shiur, didn't say a word. Comes over to me after, he's like, I love you, but you have no idea what you're talking about. I said, why? He said, I'm a pulmonologist. This is what I do for a living. I deal with these machines. I help people that have trouble breathing. But he said, there's no way that the water heats up in the humidifier enough that it should be yatzah lettuce. There's no bishul at all. I said, what are you talking about? There's steam coming out. He says, you know what? I'm not going to speak now. I'm going to go check it at home. He went home that night. He said he took five different machines, different ones that he had, and he was sticking thermometers into it to see how hot it gets. And he said none of them came close to yatzah lettuce. So the whole discussion, he said, is totally irrelevant. You're talking about bishalach habishal, a good idea. I said this was a great idea. Somebody said we should put the water that's boiled up already into the bunkhouses. The councils will fill it up. Not a big deal. According to some Rishonim, you're saving yourself in bishalach habishal. He says you don't have to do that because pouring it in on Shabbos is not causing it to heat up to a degree where you're going to then violate the Isra Bishul, which I thought was a very, very important thing for me to know. I did look today. What is the default water temperature inside of the dehumidifier? The answer is 81 degrees, which is nowhere close to yatzah lettuce. So then I'm wondering, I asked Normie, so then how does the steam come out? So am I a total Amma Eretz for asking that question?
There's different versions. There's ultrasonic ones that vibrate.
Yeah. So I looked online to find out what's the story. How is it possible that vapor is coming out if it's not steaming? I mean, it was pasha to me. It was obvious to me that obviously you're cooking it up in order for the steam to come out. It's clear, if you do enough research, it's clear that the way to create steam is not always by heating it up. Sometimes there are other methods of creating steam, and that's interesting for us to know. It doesn't have to be hot steam. And to the contrary, to put hot steam inside of somebody's face would probably not be that safe. Yeah, you have a question?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to come to boil. I mean, there's a whole discussion after bris, but you can heat up water
right.
to bathe the baby.
Right.
That's never yet to lettuce, right? It's just lukewarm water for a howler, and there's a whole discussion.